Oh, guys. Guys, Soulja Boy's movie is on Netflix Instant.
What?
Yep. Watch.
Yeah.
Watch me hit my podcast. 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 Fan gamer. You. Fan gamer. You. Fan gamer. You. Fan gamer. You. Fan gamer. Watch me hit my podcast. Watch me hit my podcast. Watch me hit my podcast. Watch me hit my podcast.
Welcome to the Fangamer Podcast. This is episode, 116. I am your host this evening, Benjamin Kerrigan, replacing Garrett Rosa. He's dead. My name is Benjamin Rosa. Replacing me is Matt Hawkins. Say hello, Matt, or Ben.
So does that make me Matthew Kerrigan?
Yes, you're Matthew Kerrigan.
Great.
And replacing Matt is, I don't know which one of you guys is replacing Matt.
I'm Derek, whatever Liz's last name was.
Okay, yeah, and yeah. Derek Bowes.
I'm Screaming Calvin Hawkins.
Screaming Calvin Hawkins.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Joined with us here today to make for Garrett's absence because, I mean, we got to get two people to replace Garrett because he's so huge.
He's so powerful.
Mm-hmm. He's so powerful. Is our good buddies over at Starship Amazing, Derek Alexander and Calvin Hansen. How are you guys doing?
Hey.
Feeling good.
Doing really good. I full disclosure, everybody. Today is my birthday. So
oh, what?
Oh, whoa. I didn't even know.
Way to save this until we started the show to make us all feel bad.
No, it's
cool. I took that off of my Facebook anyway.
Oh, okay. Well,
don't worry about it.
All right.
Well, why was that?
He doesn't want the man knowing that it's his birthday.
Let's announce it on a podcast.
He doesn't want Zucker Nerd finding out that it's his birthday.
See, announce it on a podcast that's going to be 2 days past you getting born.
I see what you're doing, Derek. I'm on to you. Anyway, Calvin, I hear you're doing something a little illegal to be on this podcast today.
I'm
breaking
skip,
the law.
I'm skipping class.
Whoa!
Fighting the man.
Is it an important class?
It's anthropology, so, and
is that really illegal? I thought you were like, you know, doing drugs or something like that.
Oh yeah. I'm also like, I also did like
also
like a key of that yay. So that's the other part of it.
Like you skipped in class to go score some coke,
and then do fangirl podcast.
Yeah,
if you're in college, Secondly, I mean, also I'm like completely high all the time when I do this. So you know, I think that's sort of a prerequisite.
Full disclosure,
right, Ben?
Full disclosure, cast. Here
that
we
would
go.
Explain your taste in music.
Oh! Yikes. All right, moving on from that. Hey, Matt, what you been up to this past week?
Very busy. Very busy. Yeah, lots been going on. Real quick, because I mentioned this last time, it's finally public, the art show that I'm curating up in Alaska. Whoa. Not Alaska. What am I talking
you
about?
You mean Antarctica,
Canada.
Right?
You're so high
you
right
definitely
now.
Mean
You're
Antarctica.
So
cut off the mescaline already.
Dude, I'm so high. I'm tripping balls. Anyways, yeah. So that's been finally announced. It's happening right before TCAP, the big indie comic explosion. So, yeah.
So wait, where is it?
I don't have a final list of all the artists, but it does include such luminaries as Ashley Davis.
What?
Chris Furness.
In the building.
Corey Schmitz.
Okay.
Mario Domo.
Lame.
A lot of people who's listening to this podcast will know and love.
Yeah, if you want to learn more about Corey Schmitz, you want to go back a couple episodes.
Yeah, he was
Fan Gamer right here
to talk to us about the PlayStation Vita.
So that's been going on. I went out to Long Island to be a guest speaker at this gigantic sci-fi fantasy.
Yeah, you went to this con convention and made a lot of tweets about things that were interesting. Tell us a little bit about that.
It's been going for 30 years. All right, so how often do you guys, not including Ben, so Derek, Calvin, how often do you guys get a chance to go to, like, conventions, like Comic-Con?
The only con I go to here in Anchorage is SenshiCon, which is an anime con.
Okay.
Last time I went there, I bought an anime for $1.
It was Dark Stalkers.
Calvin got really mad
it?
When I threw it across the room.
Yeah, because
it was bad. Because
it's my property. Jerk.
What was your $1 anime?
It was Darkstalkers, but like, it wasn't even really an anime. It was like a bad Saturday morning cartoon.
Oh, that
yeah,
one?
Yeah.
Is that even technically an anime? It's just a bad, crappy American cartoon.
I mean, it was in.
You said
it was.
It's,
it was.
It's,
it was
it's,
on the $1 oh. anime rack.
Why would they lie to him?
But yeah, so it's been going on for 30 years, and conventions have become sort of mainstream, sort of cool. It's okay to be a nerd. You go to a Comic-Con and you just see normal people. You still see people in costumes and junk like that, but it's become mainstream. It's become acceptable. Not at this convention called Icon. It's basically the redheaded stepchild of every convention you ever think of. Like, first off, it covers everything. Like, the basic Star Wars, Star Trek, Doctor Who, but alchemy, map making, theremins, like the most insanely, like there's a big, Calvin, Derek, are you familiar with Filk?
I don't think so.
Yeah, we've talked Filk, a little bit on this podcast.
Yeah, Filk is science fiction folk music. Oh. So these people...
All right, that sounds terrible.
Well, it is. They create folk music that is about, you know, Bilbo Baggins or the TARDIS or whatever the hell, Twilight, whatever the hell. So anyways, yes. So you got all this wacky stuff. It takes place at a college campus, which is what... That's the key aspect, because it's spring break, so it's generally empty. That's why they have all these classrooms, which is where all the programming takes place. It's not a convention center. It's a college campus. And you're walking around, and mostly it's deserted, but not completely. You still see students all in specific buildings cramming for tests. And they're looking up, and they see, like, what is Inuyasha? What's Naruto? What's a Klingon? What's a guy dressed up as the Matrix? It's 2012. What the hell are they doing in my college campus? So it's a great carnival atmosphere. I used to be a regular guest speaker for the video game programming track. I helped organize it a couple years ago, and I was so frustrated by the whole process that I basically told everyone to screw themselves. But like a moth to flame, there's something about this convention that's really appealing. So
yeah, what are some interesting things that happen there?
Well, let's see. Geez. Well, I went to a lot of furry panels, and
that was
interesting. And, you know, just because, like, I'm interested in that whole. Again, very long story short.
No judging. I mean, I met a guy here.
No, I mean, I
met a guy
that's
here.
That's interesting to me too. I would go to that just to kind of be a fly on the wall.
Yeah, exactly.
And like by
but
furry
many furry panels.
And by furry panels, you mean like furry sex dungeons, right?
Well, these are the funny thing is, like, there's actually a hidden furry convention within the actual convention.
A meta convention.
Whoa. But these are the ones that are open to the public. Now, a couple years ago, because I was a bit more close-minded, but not as much as everyone at that time assumed I was, I goofed on the furries like everyone else does. They're really the second-class citizens of the panel. Like, you see a morbidly obese Klingon walking around, and he's like, yeah, at least I'm not that freak. The guy dressed up like a raccoon with a diaper on.
No, you know, I can agree with that. Furries exactly. get a lot of beef. And
yeah, they get a lot of beef. But at a certain point, there was an incident that happened in the campus where someone wrote some derogatory, you know, anti-gay slander, and they wrote furries, you know, furries was sort of like implied in part of it, and I somehow got blamed for inciting anti-furry sentiment. And so, which is not cool. I'm not like, first off, whatever you're into is totally cool. It doesn't really matter, you know, as long as you're happy and you're not hurting anybody else. And, you know, I knew furries back then. They were ultimately nice people or whatever, but long story short, I eventually became friends with a furry who read my website, and he actually came to defend me. He's like, listen, I know you're not anti-gay or anything like that. It's totally ridiculous. And he also was a very good photographer, so he lent me his services for a while, and we formed a friendship. But I learned more about the furry lifestyle from him, and I became more and more fascinated. So every year I go and I attend more furry panels, and this year I went to the most of them just because I had a lighter speaking schedule. So I went to Furries and Science Fiction, where these individuals talked about how a lot of furry content is in movies that we're not aware of, like how George Lucas produced a movie called Howard the Duck. I don't know if you guys remember this film.
Yeah.
So,
who could forget the classic?
Classic. What you talking about? Duck. What do you mean? What do you mean?
So,
we'll be.
So Lucas supported Howard the Duck. I almost said Howard Stern. Yeah, we'll say that thing. Too. And Spielberg supported... he produced Roger Rabbit, so they're clearly furries because they're advocating furries. my favorite observation was when they talked about when Fantastic Mr. Fox, that great stop-motion animated film, came out, and they made an observation where it wasn't George Clooney starring the voice of George Clooney. It was George Clooney as Fantastic Mr. Fox. Right. And they just went and they scratched their beards and went, very furry, very furry. And they got lost in the moment, and that's when I sort of made my exit because I thought that
seems
might
seems like
be
a
cool.
good moment.
George, yeah, so, George Clooney's fursona as the Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Exactly. I saw a lot of stuff, but the highlight was Jeremy Bullock, who plays Boba Fett.
Okay.
And I don't know. Again, you have this preconceived notion. Well, honestly, I've seen in the past where there's a celebrity and he's still hanging on to the past for doing just one goofy thing. I remember I went
Saint
to a crappy
John St. John. Shout outs.
Like, I remember going to a convention and there was a table and there was a guy sitting next to a little tiny TV with a built-in VHS deck. And it was a scene from the Titanic where a guy is sliding. He's like an extra. He's sliding down the board as it's a 45-degree angle. He's,
and there's some dude's like, yeah, that's me.
That was me, okay. Yeah. And it was on loop. That 1 3-second part was in a loop. It was almost like oh my God.
Guys, hire me. Please, yeah. Give me another part.
I wanted to see Boba Fett. And I was a little afraid of how he would be, but he was like the most charming, nice. I mean, he's an elder statesman, British gentleman. That's so, of awesome. Course, he's charming. And he did this weird acting clinic where he got a bunch of people from the audience to be in scenes with him. And I was actually acting with Boba Fett for a while. And that was very exciting. My buddy recorded it with his iPhone. And as we discovered afterwards, if you record something at a certain orientation and you change the orientation the iPhone, it doesn't catch up.
Of course not.
So everything's like 90 degrees to the right, and I'm not going to post on YouTube. I think it'd just be a bit too weird. But yes, that was Icon.
That's cool.
Yeah, I got to meet Boba Fett. I got... Oh, and the dealer's room sucks. The best table was the Girl Scouts. They had a table, so I bought a bunch of Girl Scout cookies.
Nice. Oh, Girl Scouts at a con. That's kind of dope.
Con Girl Scout cookies.
Yes. Yeah. So,
well, Calvin and Derek, guys, what are you doing?
I didn't...
Well, I'm just, like, taking it from what Matt's saying. I have a lot of parallel stories that I could tell about MAGFest.
Yeah.
I had a kind of an interesting run-in with the furry community, and it's like, I'm with Matt, like, you know, I don't want to speak for you, Matt, but just like, you know, I think the furry community is kind of weird, but like, never to the point where I would, you know, incite hateful comments about them. I don't care to that degree. But
I sort of feel like the furry community the same way I feel like the weed smoking community, in that let me explain it.
In that
I am totally cool with what they're doing. They want to do it. That's fine by me. I'm not a participant in either of their communities, but I also think that a lot of the minutiae of their communities are really funny.
I totally agree. Like,
what is the furry equivalent of 420?
The new My Little Pony episode.
Okay, yeah. Yes. Okay. What about the word dank? What is the furry the equivalent of that?
The word furry.
Dang it.
No, actually, there was a panel about how not to be a creepy furry that I went to, and that was...
How many people were in there?
There were a lot of them in there, and I'm not going to lie. It smelled really bad in there. I couldn't stay for very long.
That room must have been duded like crazy.
It was the most humid...
shower?
It was the most humid room of the entire convention.
Well, it's got to get really hot in those costumes. Yeah, come on, kids. Get that antiperspirant going.
And then they take off their heads... I mean, most of them were not in costume. They were just wearing cat ears and tails, ancillary stuff,
so
just to show everyone that they're of whatever. But the people that were in full regalia, they were by far the most eccentric, and everyone's yelling and screaming. Like, of all the furry panels I went to, it was on the I don't know what anyone's talking about spectrum. But they did say something that was equivalent to dank. Like, you say it, and it's like everyone would, ooh, and, No, yiffing is more. I don't know.
All right, let's talk about something else. Anyway,
what did you do, Derek?
I just wanted
your furry story?
To regale just a quick anecdote that I
yes.
Just sure. Something kind of interesting that happened to me. I was at MAGFest with the Retro TV crew that I rolled deep with. And next to our booth was this vendor, and she was just selling stuff, and she had like a tail, you know, attached to her belt loop on the back of her jeans. And I saw that she was like drawing like furry porn. You know, she was drawing it. And there was just exchange that she was having with an individual. I caught the aftermath because he drew me into it. They were having some kind of exchange, and then he like walked off and walked over to the booth next to mine, and he looked over at me and goes, "What?"
At first I thought you meant
I like to f- dragons, and then walked off.
At first, I thought you were saying she drew you into the porn she was drawing.
That's what I thought. Yeah,
another
yeah.
subject for my masterpiece.
But I kind of asked her, like, what was that all about? Because I think I felt the need to be like, can you explain to me what I just was a part of? And she was pretty much like, yeah, that guy was kind of an idiot and a douchebag and kind of like, what's wrong with this community? And
yeah.
She was talking to me about, like, she likes drawing, and she actually makes some, you know, decent money on the side,
oh,
like
yeah,
drawing
dude.
Porn. And you know, she was like cool, and she was talking about the community, and she's like, yeah, some people really, you know, like a couple rotten eggs spoil the bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And she was really cool, really chill, and can really draw some good porn. It was.
I got a boner.
Oh. I mean, you got a boner even though I had a tail in it.
I wasn't even there.
Speaking
Derek
of,
told me about it.
Hooves.
Speaking of, how you doing, Calvin?
I'm doing pretty good. Like Matt made me feel bad because I didn't do anything. Like I didn't go anywhere. I didn't do nothing. I've been playing Mass Effect 2. Do we want to talk
yeah.
about that? I like Mass
you
Effect 2.
We talk a little bit about it. We'll talk about Mass Effect a little bit later since we're talking about video game news for March today. But you got something to say about 2?
I like Mass Effect 2. I haven't played Mass Effect 1. I just started in, just went right into 2 because everyone on the internet said I should do that. And
yeah, more and more I hear 1, you can skip 1 and go right to 2. 2 is the better game.
I don't know.
Game
if,
Club, Mass Effect.
Yeah,
if you do.
Is it really? Because I would like to play. You know, it's always a good excuse to play through video games.
Yeah, if I finish
we're
up 2.
Have a Fraser, a Far From Subtle for Mass Effect 1.
If I finish up 2 by the time you guys start that, I might join in. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I've been really enjoying 2. I think I'm getting close to the end. I've gotten all my team members. I haven't done all of their loyalty missions yet because of the ones I just got. But yeah, overall, I'm really enjoying that game. I really like sort of the speech systems and the kind of the shooting is good enough that it doesn't get in the way. But the stuff I really like is just kind of walking around talking to dudes. Just make that. As a game.
Yeah,
so
that's what I'm excited for in playing this series. Like, I haven't played any of them, so that's what drew me into it. Like, I heard a lot of games spat on that game from the Hey Ash people. They're big fans of it, and that, like, since I heard them talking about it, I really wanted to get into it.
Yeah, and sort of like just the way the speech system works, I get really invested in my Shepard in I subconsciously sort of invent motivations for why. Yeah. Elizabeth Shepherd would respond that way.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's...
So, yeah, quick question. Like, do you play your Shepherd as, like, her own character or what you would do?
It's probably a mix of the two. Like, I sort of figured out early on the kind of Shepherd I wanted to play. Like my Shepherd ain't anyone. Because that would be highly inappropriate to have sex with a subordinate.
So if it happens, you reset the game.
Yeah, yeah. I accidentally chose a dialogue option with Garrus that was like, all right, let's bang. I was like, oh, nope.
Whoops.
Just reload that save. I ain't doing that. I ain't play that business. But yeah, it's probably about a mix of the two. I'm doing pretty much pretty Paragon, except when it's awesome to do something messed up. I might now,
pull out the gat and be like, don't be lying to me, punk.
Yeah, yeah.
So from what I heard about that game, though, it might have even been from you guys. Like, there are certain things you can't do if you haven't been following a certain path. Like, has that been a problem?
Yeah, well, like, the big one is I started right into 2, so Rex is dead.
Sure.
So I never get Rex. Like, there's a spot on my team that's just always going to be empty. Like, oh. So that's kind of why I want to play 1. Is I want to play 1 and get Rex, see what he's up to.
So after
also, here's
that,
here's the spoiler,
two?
Ladies and gentlemen. Calvin used to actually own Mass Effect 1.
Yeah,
I sold
it to Derek.
No, you didn't.
I didn't.
It to me, jerk.
I did.
No,
I'm sorry.
It's like that, and he used to have a copy of New Super Mario Bros. Didn't sell that to me either, jerk.
I'm not sorry about that.
Well,
one.
On that note, I mentioned last week how Mass Effect 1 and 2 are like dirt cheap on Amazon.
Yeah.
Maybe they still are. So I bought a copy of... hey, you guys love making fun of me thus far. You're going to love this one.
All right.
Oh. So I have Mass Effect 1. I've had it for a couple years. I have not been able to play it because I still have a standard definition TV.
Mm-mm.
Right.
So I can't read the text on my television. So I can, but it gives me a headache. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to download Mass Effect 1 and 2. It's cheap. I downloaded it, and it won't work on my Mac. And I don't know what the hell's going on. And I was so ready to just go and sell Mass Effect 1 to this store and, you know, get some extra money on the side. And
Matt, the thing is, like, you know the reason why we didn't just jump on doing Mass Effect in general, right? It's because Mass Effect doesn't run on the Mac.
Yeah, it's PC only, isn't it? I mean, are you trying to, like, run it in Wine or something?
Yeah, like, do you have...
No. I have Windows 7 Ultimate.
Oh, okay.
And I've been booting in, and I'm able to run other Steam games and stuff like that, so...
That's weird.
I launch it, and it just sort of gets stuck in a loop for whatever reason.
Weird.
Wow, Calvin, Derek, I thought you were going to make fun of me for having a standard definition.
I mean, yeah, that's dumb as hell.
Shame.
Like what's
silent
wrong
shame.
With you? You,
I'm so tired of this. I'm so tired of people not going, hey, so you appreciate the classics. You still like the older systems. I don't get that nearly as much anymore, and it's really...
I mean, if you weren't talking about how you couldn't play games, then maybe we would say that.
I mean, do you have, like, a decent monitor? Could you get, like a VGA adapter for, like, your Xbox and do that?
No, I have a MacBook Pro. I'm sure there's a way of finagling it. But real quick, I don't want to talk too much about it, but Ben, I finally got a 3DS.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. Have you played video games on it?
Well, I reviewed Kid Icarus.
Man, 3DSs are pretty expensive. I mean, you could almost get a widescreen
TV. You could totally get an HDTV for the price of a 3DS. You dumb idiot.
Well, you know.
And a Vita, too. Man, if you got a Vita, then you can get the really good cords and all the hookups.
Well,
good wall mounts.
Not to brag, but the reason why I'm in my line of work is I get everything for free. So
except an HDTV, apparently.
Apparently, yes. Well, it doesn't count TVs. It only counts like systems and games.
What about that Sony 3D TV? They didn't.
Trust me, I asked. They weren't budging on that one. No. But anyways, so I played through Kid Icarus. Great game.
Yeah.
Have you guys played it yet?
I don't own a 3DS.
I do not own one, but that I've heard a lot about that, and it looks
because
I'm into the action games. I've heard a lot of people say like, oh, the controls just are too much for me. I think I'd be able to handle the controls, then also all the loot and stuff that you get in that game just sounds like that's icing on the cake.
There's a lot. It's good.
It's one of those games. So you have it, Ben?
Yeah.
For me, it's one of those games where there is a big part of the game that sucks. It's a huge part, but there's so many other things. Like, flying is awesome.
Yeah.
The script is amazing.
Yeah,
what is
good
cool
in this game is good. It's really good.
But then the ground
segments and the later half of the levels, I heard that those are just like a pain.
I don't think they're necessarily bad. They're not as phenomenal as the flight segments.
I don't know.
Sure.
They're not a lot of fun for me. I mean, I trudge through them, obviously.
That seems to be the point of contention for people. The game is either excellent or bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that specific area, I think
the people that write it off as bad just like gave up on the controls before it clicked for them. Because I do think there is a clicking point, but a game shouldn't really need that as well.
I think it's been stated before, like to have that stand, like that's a really like when if that's your solution, maybe you should dig deeper and like
that's
fix
fair
a
enough,
bigger problem
but
with
say
your
what
game.
You want about that stand. That stand is fresh as hell. I love that stand so much. It's just like my 3DS looks so regal just sitting on this stand on my desk.
I put a plate on and I eat dinner off it. It's delicious.
I've actually like used it as a stand for my iPhone like the past few days.
You can put it
in I use it for other things. Yeah, it isn't just for the 3DS. I have a dock for that.
Yeah.
And I put my DSi on that just because I don't have anything for the DSi.
But we're running a little bit long here.
Yes.
Just before we knock that out, Derek and Calvin, I hear some news going on in Starship Amazing Land, something about a podcast.
We ended our podcast, the old podcast Amazing. We finished it. We killed it off.
Done.
No.
Over.
Don't worry. Don't cry. We're starting a new podcast.
Stop crying. Stop.
You
crying.
Dumb baby. This is what we talked about.
Dumb baby with your stupid diaper.
Ben, get a hold of yourself, for God's sake.
We're starting a new podcast. We're starting a new podcast called Nothing Matters, a podcast about stuff that matters. And it's going to be at nothingmatterspodcast.com. We don't have an episode up yet. We're going to record one tomorrow, I guess. And then hopefully we'll have our first episode up this week. By the time you hear this podcast,
we will have recorded our podcast.
Yeah,
so if you're like a day late getting to this podcast right now, Check out up. Nothing Matters.
Even if it's not up yet, you can still follow them on Twitter and go to their site and stuff.
We have a web zone that you can go to.
Things we wanted to change about this podcast is it's not under like the banner of Starship Amazing. Mm-hmm. It's going to have its own kind of website and its own entity. So we decided it's kind of to stop having a podcast. Starship Amazing doesn't have a podcast anymore. Derek and Calvin now have a podcast. And we're going to have a friend, Seth. Yeah.
Let's be real, though. Aside from that third dude, partner. It's the same podcast.
Basically.
Yeah.
I mean,
we'll still be taking questions, but I think if people have like questions about Starship Amazing, we probably won't be answering as many of them.
I got some segments worked out that I'm pretty excited about. I don't know if I want to spill the beans on those, but...
No.
Sneak peek.
Yeah.
One of them will involve Fred Durst.
I'm excited. All right, Nothing Matters. And Matters Podcast, Twitter. NothingMattersPodcast.com. Is that
Yep, that's it.
Yeah.
You nailed it. Excellent. You're a great host, anyway, Ben.
Yeah, I'm the best. I'm the king.
Get Garrett out of here. You're the best.
Yeah, Ben Gamer. Anyway.
Ben Cast.
All that power is immediately gone to Ben's head. I figured this was going to happen. Now I'm gonna be.
Yeah, we're gonna hand it off to Charlie for a little bit of audio candy. If not, because he's busy for PAX, I'll just put a song in.
Oh wow! What's this wonderful Starship Amazing music playing in the background right now?
Starship Amazing music.
Great track.
Episode 116, March Gaming News. Matt Hawkins, our illustrious game writer that we brought on, not 100% for the sole purpose of gathering news stories for us because we're lazy and not current, but mostly
it's
for that
bonus.
Reason. It's a bonus. Yeah. He has compiled a list of very exciting stories for us to talk about, things that happened in March, things you want to hear about, and yeah, let's just jump right into it. Like, I'm sorry that we didn't have a forum thread up this week. I mean, we're all busy. We got a lot of stuff coming up. PAX happening. Garrett getting sick. He's so busy with being sick. Calvin and Derek, they had nothing to do with it. I don't know why I said that.
Yeah, we're bringing this.
I mean, I'm sick, but
it's
like
their
but
fault.
Like the good
it's their
way.
Fault. It's their fault. Blame them. Anyway.
I'm sick like a like an awesome Skrillex drop.
That was me imitating
Take
Skrillex.
Take me to the hospital.
Okay. Why does everyone hate Skrillex so much?
Because he has a dumb haircut.
Well, there's no denying
that.
He
wants to be able to say the N-word.
Yeah, that's also pretty stupid.
I love it.
Yeah, he is a dumbass. What am I talking about? His music, though, I don't seem to hate as much as everyone else. And the thing I don't get is, like, when my hipster friends hate him. Like, seriously? Because, really? Look in the mirror. Anyways, yes, so
anyway,
the news.
Effects.
A lot of
stuff happened in March. Yeah.
A lot of stuff happened in March. Let's kick things off with the most popular game of 2012 thus far. Mass Effect 3 came out, and the ending was a sore disappointment for a lot of individuals.
Which is okay. It's okay that it disappointed people.
It's okay. So all right. The basic two beefs were that the ending was a downer. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a matter of opinion.
Yeah, right? That's valid.
That's a, well, yeah. And then the bigger complaint, which I think has a little more beef to it, is how none of the choices you made in the game really had any real effect or bearing on the conclusion.
You know what? Now, also valid. Also a valid beef.
Yeah, yeah.
That does seem like something that genuinely worth complaining about, because they're building this entire trilogy as, oh, it's going to be three parts.
Yeah,
and
it's
what
all,
you do in part
gonna
one is going to affect. It's going to be like Chrono Trigger. It's going to have a million different endings.
Okay, well, not to defend Mass Effect, a game that I haven't even played, made by BioWare, who I really have no loyalty, so I could really care less about them. And despite their history of just creating all this goofy DLC and nickel and diming their fan base, I'm going to defend them by saying, okay, the ending sucks. Well, that's too bad. Maybe it was always designed that way. And more importantly, the whole idea of no choice you made having a ending in the game, and apparently it's a doomsday scenario. That's all I know about the ending. But for me, I think of that, I hear that, like, well, maybe that's an actual eloquent way of saying this is like a hopeless situation and nothing you really did. I mean, that's
regardless,
it sucks.
Regardless of what their decision was, it was still their artistic choice to end the game the way they did. Okay. And here is where the discussion starts on the ending of Mass Effect.
Yeah, so basically, initially, BioWare responded by saying, listen, we've heard all the complaints, but this is the way it is. We wanted to create an ending that left an impression in people's minds, and obviously, mission accomplished. But people kept on bitching and moaning and bitching. There was like a Facebook group. There was a, you know, there's a Twitter feed, yada, 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 yada.
There's so a charity
I believe
drive.
There's one Take Back Mass Effect.
Yes, that's the main
that's
group.
The conceit behind that that statement is absurd.
Yes. And exactly. So when the reason why I'm so annoyed with these individuals is the minute that BioWare said the doctor Mazurek, I don't know how to say his last name, he said, okay, fine, we're going to give you the ending. It'll come in the form of DLC like in April, or which is like this month now. I sort of thought that the people who were running Take Back Mass Effect would be going, hooray, we've done it. Mission accomplished. But no, they're even more pissed off. They're even more entitled. Like, you know what? This doesn't get them off the hook. The game, it could still suck, and we better make sure that it's good. Da, 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 da. I'm like, really, guys?
And they're not changing the ending, are they? Like, I think that the statement was like, we're clarifying some stuff about the ending.
I'm not actually sure
they're
about that.
They're extrapolating.
So. One of the weird side effects is they tried to do a fundraiser to clear their bad name, because at this point, some people like myself, we're starting to think they're a bunch of really sort of annoying. So they decided to do a fundraiser to donate money for sick kids, and they tied it with Child's Play. Mm-hmm. But what ended up happening is a lot of people are donating money thinking they were putting money towards the new ending.
Is that right? I did not know about that part.
So after a while, the guys who run Penny Arcade, they were getting a lot of letters from people saying, so how much money do you guys need to create a brand new ending, or da da da, and like Gabe and Tyke are like, whoa, wait a minute, we didn't sign off for this. So they asked for the donation, the fundraiser to be shut down. I forget how much money they raised, like 18 or
it was money.
It was 40,000. It's like a lot of money.
Was that
so,
Gabe?
Yeah. So that got shut down. So that was a big blunder on their part. Then more recently, someone on the BioWare forum said, listen, let's all send BioWare a bunch of cupcakes, and what we're going to do is they're all going to be vanilla, but we're going to have three different colors of frosting, each representative of one of the choices, but at the end, it all tastes the same.
Honestly,
get it?
I think that's awesome and kind of clever.
Okay, but, so
it's clever. Still,
still dumb.
So what? Here's the thing that pisses me off. So they raised the money. They needed $1,005, and they got it in less than an hour. They placed the order. They gave the cupcakes to BioWare. BioWare accepted and like, listen,
we love cupcakes.
They're like, it's cute what you did, but ultimately we're not going to eat these because we know it's a form of protest, and we understand
also
what this is about.
Passive aggressive as hell.
Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to donate these cupcakes to a youth shelter locally because all we know, and they know this youth shelter. Like, listen, these young men and women, they would really love cupcakes. It would brighten up the days. And guess what? Now people are even angrier at BioWare. They think it's like, how dare they? You know, that was intended to them. They clearly are not listening to us. And now you got people, and this is the thing that really pisses me off. They're like, well, it's so hypocritical. You know, they're donating cupcakes to a bunch of needy children, but they wouldn't accept donations for Child's Play. And it's like, they're blaming BioWare for shutting down the Child's Play auction when it was really Child's Play that shut down. And it just...
Yeah.
Oh my! And I have no tolerance. I can't respect these people. Like, you know, you're entitled to hate the ending, and I know not every person who hates the ending are one of these crazy psychos. But seriously, it's like, get a life.
Honestly, the reason that nerd culture has the reputation it does is just wrapped up in a nice little bow.
All right,
you guys aren't helping, and you're actively throwing all gamers under the bus by acting like a bunch of children.
All right, you know what BioWare should have done with the cupcakes? I got it figured out.
Okay,
They get the cupcakes. They release a statement that's just like, thanks for the cupcakes. They were all delicious, and that's it. That's all they say. And then they go on their way, and then their $15 DLC comes out. You buy that. You load it up on your Mass Effect. And it's just a video of them angrily throwing the cupcakes in the trash. And then they say, you. And then credits. It's the end.
That's the new ending. Hope you guys liked it.
Hope you guys. Shepard finds some cupcakes and throws them away.
The infamous cupcake DLC.
You can choose what color the cupcakes are.
Like, there's the option to choose eat cupcake. But it's grayed out.
Oh, you ain't enough of a paragon for
Not paragon enough for that cupcake.
Someone call me, guys. I'll be right back.
Oh, jeez. Unprofessional.
This is a professional production, jeez. What is going on here?
Ben, leave all of this in. I want people need to know.
The shame is just in this podcast right now.
Yeah,
God, retake Fangamer Podcast. I'm going to send Derek 40,000 cupcakes.
The middle was bad. Make Derek do it again.
Derek, you know what?
I answered the phone, and that woman hung up on me. So, screw you.
Totally blowing chances for Ben to steal the podcast from Garrett's under his feet. Anyways, moving on. Next up, on a more lighter note, Double Fine's Kickstarter wrapped up, and it was a smash success.
Indeed.
It raised about over $3 million officially.
3.5? 3.5. It was up there.
Now, 3.3 officially, but there's an extra $100,000 from journalists and other people who couldn't go on record to donate that money officially because of, conflict of interest and junk like that. So, you know, they have the money, and now they're working on the game. And I mentioned this in a previous podcast, but I saw Tim Schafer speak at NYU and talk about, like, oh, that's a great success. And he said that his group, they felt like it was a success for every show that got canceled, everything that just never got to fruition because of circumstances. So it's a big thumbs up for video games and people who are...
It's a monumental moment. For sure. Yeah.
Now, what's happened now is like there's been a ripple effect. There's been other Kickstarters that have been opened up to fund certain types of games, and
it
probably won't succeed. But right now, it really depends on, and you know, it'll all become very apparent. Schafer succeeded because he's Schafer. He's very charismatic, but the Schafer. He has a track record. Like, his games have been very good. He's servicing an audience that has been under-fed. And there's a lot of different things that sort of came together. The next big successful one is the Wasteland 2 Kickstarter, which is a sequel to Wasteland, which is the inspiration to Fallout and a lot of other... It's the godfather of the Wasteland RPG, post-apocalyptic RPG genre, excuse me. So that's done well, and some other things.
I heard about the new hotness from the Besties podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Some Kickstarter for the Sherlock Holmes FMV game.
That looks fresh.
Oh. Do you know how well it's doing? Or
I think as of that podcast recording, they had like $8,000 or so.
And what's their target?
I think their target was like $40,000 or something.
Okay, well, hopefully.
Costs, we have a month or so left.
Costs a lot to get all that footage off of that Betamax.
Yeah, of course.
Well, yeah. Yeah, so. But, yeah, so it's a good counterpoint to the whole Mass Effect angry, crazy gamers. Like, this is an example of people getting together and doing, I think, something positive, like making something happen, and et cetera.
Yeah, but, it's again, definitely a monumental occasion in the history of video games.
It was big not just for gaming but for like internet culture as a whole, because it wasn't like a couple hours before they first off, their goal was 400,000. They made a million in like 12 hours.
24.
Yeah, okay.
They met their goal in 12.
It was like 12 hours before that or something. There was some iPod doc that right before it wrapped up its run, it crossed a million, and that was a big deal. Like, oh, you know, the first Kickstarter to break a million, like not even 24 hours later.
Yeah.
Yes.
You have Tim Schafer and company just destroying it, you know, making $3.3 million altogether. So really, like, let's not distill it down. This is just about gaming. Like, you know, that kind of internet, cut out the middleman kind of bullshit. Do it independently. It's a really big day.
This is definitely a nice counterpoint to the whole Mass Effect thing.
They should have just done a kickstart for a better ending. Give me enough money, I'll make it.
I mean, well, that seems what people thought the retake Mass Effect thing was.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, it's funny you mention that, because there have been people saying, well, now we can, disgruntled Mega Man fans, now we can make Mega Man Legends 3, we can raise money on Kickstarter. It's like, well, it doesn't really work like that, guys.
Like, other dudes own Mega Man. Like, just because they're not making the game doesn't mean you can snatch up Mega Man.
Yeah, so Inafune still says he wants to make Mega Man Legends 3, but small detail, Capcom owns that IP. Yeah. You know, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Now,
again,
moving on to
that game for a reason.
Yes. Yeah.
Moving on to other good things happening.
Sticking with games being made. So, are you guys familiar with Peter Molyneux?
I've heard a little bit about it.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so he is it's a fake Twitter account by a mysterious unknown person of origin or identification, and he comes up with wacky game ideas, which aren't necessarily all that different from the wacky game ideas that the real Peter Molyneux.
That's why it's so genius.
It's so genius. My favorite is, have you ever wanted to play a racing game, but you're the road? That's always so.
One thing that was great was that after Peter Molyneux, the real one, left Lionhead, and he was no longer like with Microsoft, he like tweeted at Peter Molyneux and was like, "No, that one's pretty good. That's a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
I like that one."
No, there's been a lot of people in recent weeks who've in recent months. I forget who it is, but someone just said flat out, like, "Listen, Peter Molyneux's ideas are clearly indicative of how boring that the actual industry is. And if we took more chances like this individual, maybe things would be better." But anyway, so someone, again, there's a Double Fine connection. One of the main programmers at Double Fine, she just casually tweeted, "We should do a game jam that's based around Peter Molyneux's game ideas." Because at Double Fine, they have a lot of internal game jams, and that's where a lot of their game ideas come from, like stacking and Costume Quest. Mm-hmm. They were all actually developed into fuller games. So she just said this, and it just sort of spread like wildfire. And next you know, a bunch of cities all over the world, like 10 or 20 cities, tons of them, were all having what would Peter Molyneux do game jams that happened this past weekend, with the biggest, most famous participant being Peter Molyneux himself. He thought it was a great idea. He participated in the British and the England jam. So now the games that have been made are actually starting to sort of get spread around. And Ben, you said you've played one of these games?
Yeah, I played one made by Diego Moreno, known as Radstronomical on the internet, responsible for games like, what is it, Ultimate Flirt Off, I think is the name of that
game. Yes.
Yeah.
That's a great guy.
And Emmett, I'm not sure of his last name, but he is the dad of the Space Dad Twitter account. He's a good dude. They made a game called Doki Doo Paniku, and it was based off the prompt of, like, what would happen if your in-game character got freaked out, like, the more you pressed buttons. And so, like, this game, it's, like, a challenge to see, like, how minimalistic you can act in this platformer game that's, like, auto-scrolling, and you have to, like, jump over a bunch of different enemies. It's like Mario, but, like, again, auto-scrolling, you have to avoid more things, and you just have to not freak your guy out enough that he just freezes in fear. And it's really hard. It's really cool.
It wasn't called Don't Get Spooked.
Oh, it should have been.
Oh, you mean named after the classic album by Space Boyfriend?
Classic album.
Oh, yeah,
album,
I think number six...
Number
record
six,
on the Witch House charts on
like forget ICP, Space Boyfriend, Rock and Roll Hall
like
of Fame.
In 10 years, Space Boyfriend's gonna get his trophy for sticking it out.
Yep.
And you know, I'm just
having
Witch
his own.
I'm just happy I was able to ride on those coattails.
For those who don't know what we're talking about, I made a stupid album, and it'll be in the show notes. Anyway, what were we saying? Yeah, that game.
Video games.
It's pretty good. I'll link that as well. Yes. It's nice. Have you played any, Matt?
No, I haven't had a chance. I'm actually going to be writing about it tomorrow, so tonight after the... Oh, actually, after the podcast wraps up, I'm going to download as many as I can and, you know, do a little thing about it. So, yeah.
I'm going to have to read that article because I have to admit I know nothing about anything you guys are talking about right now. It sounds,
dummy.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Definitely check out the game I mentioned. It's the only one I've played so far. But, yeah, I definitely want to look into what's happening as well. Because, I mean, as much as of a parody it all is, like, playing that game, it's like, wow, this is actually kind of unique and cool. This is a neat idea. Even though it's, like, sort of a joke. I don't know. I think it could spark nice creativity if taken seriously. So yeah,
it kind of shows the artistic merit of the format of video games.
Yeah,
exactly. So, and speaking of artistic formats in video games, next item is exactly, we're like a well-oiled machine. So Game Developers Conference happened early this month, and there's a billion things to talk about, but the one thing we'll focus on is how it honors its top talents in the mainstream and the indie world via the Game Developers Choice Awards and the Independent Games Festival Awards. Now, for the main shebang, the Game Developers Conference, the top prize went to Skyrim. It was called Game of the Year.
Saints Row the Third.
Not a bad game. Not a bad game. The Innovation Award went to Johann Sebastian Joust, which
that is
you're
well
a big
deserved.
Fan of. Him. Okay. And other winners were Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery. They got Best Mobile Game, which I think is totally deserved.
Yeah.
Battlefield 3 for Best Technology. I'd never played it. Bastion for Best Downloadable Game. Uncharted 3 for Best Visual Arts. And Supergiant Games won the Best Debut Studio. Unfortunately, I don't know what they did.
Yeah,
and,
I don't know that.
And Portal 2 won actually a couple awards. They got Best Design, Best Narrative, and Best Audio. Now, the IGF was tinged with controversy because one of the games that was nominated that eventually got the top honor is a little game called Fez, which is a dope game. Its creator, Phil Fish, who I'm friends with, he's a very, let's just say, polarizing individual. Mm-hmm. He made headlines all throughout GDC after a screening of Indie Games, the movie, which is a documentary in which him and other people are highlighted about the creation of indie games. There was a Q&A afterwards, and a nervous Japanese fellow very politely asked Phil, what do you think of Japanese games? And Phil, in the only way Phil knows how to, basically told him that Japanese games suck, that Japan is going to hell. You know, he said something that honestly a lot of people took out of context because it was one of those things that writers like to do, and they painted Phil is a racist bastard.
I
was under the impression he just spoke quickly and very blunt.
Yes, very
he did. He
did not think through. Exactly.
But I've also heard that
that is
classic Fish. That's classic Phil Fish.
Yeah,
evidently,
it is.
If you know anything about the guy, that is just him being him.
Yeah,
that's what he did.
I've been reading a lot about Indie Game the Movie, which has Phil Fish in it, and because I want to watch that movie immediately. My body is ready. It seems like we're all gonna watch that movie and it's gonna be like, oh, okay, that's the way Phil Fish is.
We understand now.
Sorry, Phil Fish.
Phil Fish, you're kind of crazy.
You're kind of crazy, Phil Fish.
Yeah, I mean,
but I did play Fez at PAX and holy shit,
it's great.
That's out next Friday, right? The 13th, I'm pretty sure.
The 13th
is when that drops.
Yep.
I'm on it.
As well as the sequel to Erica 7, guys. I'm so excited. Anyway, so
anime.
Calvin's
you want
anime
the
corner.
Best anime pictures and weird anime crap? Go to look at Ben's Tumblr.
Yeah, just
all
just
of the hottest
got
anime.
It on lock. But no, well, like I am a big fan of Japanese games, and like his comments honestly didn't. I didn't disagree with them. I think like Japanese games can suck. I think.
Well, yeah,
games
I mean,
in general
Inafune
can suck.
Then did a much longer
like,
plead,
Inafune,
like, you know, listen, I'm Japanese. I develop games in Japan. Our market sucks, and he was
yeah.
kind of pleading.
Yeah,
because it's a lot of. I'm going to steal your phrase right now, pandering brigandry. Yeah. Even like Hideo
I don't think
Kojima
that was actually ours. I think, wasn't that like Sasanfun said that or something?
I don't
was
know.
It?
I don't know.
I don't
remember. I know brigandry like makes no sense in this context.
No, it doesn't
like,
work.
It's completely
no.
meaningless.
But pandering brigandry.
Like, I don't think the beef anyone had with what Philfish was saying was over his opinion on it. I mean, some people obviously did. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, those people are dumb. The beef that most people had, including myself, was just how he handled the whole thing.
Yeah,
like,
his post-game was
account,
pretty bad.
Yeah, he took it very not well and very unprofessionally. And it was just kind of a breakdown. But again, like as you were saying earlier, it seems like that'll become revelatory once we watch the movie and we're like, oh, got it.
Yeah, the one that keeps sticking to me is the part I keep hearing about where he says, if I can't get this game released, I will kill myself.
Anyway.
Roger Ebert, he said something negative about video games. Mm-hmm. And everyone gets on his case. I'm like, who cares? A, he's entitled to his opinion. I mean, he's wrong,
I mean,
obviously.
Yeah, it's just not for him.
Well, yeah,
it's
and
just not for
also,
him.
Roger Ebert has some fundamental misunderstandings about the nature of what video games are.
True.
If you look at his old quotes, he kind of thinks that video games are sort of these magical boxes where you can just do whatever you want. Like, he doesn't understand,
yeah.
like, the way they're made and the way restrictions are put
yeah,
on your actions. But yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but when yeah. people get so upset, I ask them, why are you so upset? Because this film guy doesn't know what he's talking about. It's like,
well, he's
okay.
a film guy.
Like,
he's
a film
game.
Guy.
He's also
yeah.
like, he's also old as hell, and it's the role of old as hell dudes to not get what's going on.
Okay. Well, okay, so maybe I was sort of meandering, but this brings up to my next item. So the Smithsonian finally had an exhibition on video games.
Yeah,
as
I had not heard about this. This is a little unfortunate.
And it sucks. Basically.
It sucks in what way? Like, people didn't go, or just the
no, people went. Awful. People went. So when the Smithsonian announced that they were going to have an exhibition on video games, everyone was very, very happy. They thought, finally, a major cultural institution is acknowledging video games, and it's going to be in the hallowed halls right next to great works of art that is considered very important in the, you know, in America or what have you.
Yeah.
So the people who are curating the show, they made the fatal mistake of making it crowdsourced by having a bunch of games, throwing it out to the public and letting the people vote on the games.
I do remember that because Starman.net had a thing to vote for Earthbound.
Exactly, yeah. And in the end, 80 or so games were chosen, and they made a coffee table book, and you know, that's always an accompaniment to any art show. But so the show happened, and had a lot of cool guest speakers. They had Kojima, and they had Ralph Baer. It just ran the gamut. But ultimately, the exhibit was very small. It lacked any focus. Mm. It was really underwhelming because you could tell that the people who had organized the show, and they even actually admitted it, it's like, listen, we don't want to rock the boat. We just want to be, hey guys, we're video games. We don't want to be too intimidating. So they had no real voice. They had no point of view, and that's the kiss of death when you're trying to do an art show. The actual show itself, again, featured 80 games, but the cross-section, the games that were chosen are pretty laughable, like Tetris wasn't even included. I mean,
your Desert Island game of choice.
My Desert Island game of choice. But like, come on. Tetris is important. There's no acknowledgement of the internet. No Grand Theft Auto. I'm not the biggest Grand Theft Auto fan in the world,
yeah,
but that's
it's pretty important.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty important. So
And I'm guessing no Earthbound?
No Earthbound.
I thought Earthbound did do it. I thought Earthbound made it.
I don't know. I don't think so. Maybe. Oh. I'm not too sure. Off the top of my head, but
well, good on you, Starman.net. If you were able to get Earthbound in that stuff,
we did it.
Yeah, so that was real.
So wait, did you see it, Matt? Did you go to the exhibit?
It opened in a weekend. It was not convenient for me.
Oh,
I
okay.
still want to go, but my enthusiasm level, like everyone I know,
oh yeah, for sure. Like
they're like, it's
so
a waste of time.
It is.
Dude.
It is still up. Are they going to keep
it up? Up until September 30th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there's a coffee table book. I came across it at a bookstore and like, hey, it's got some cool stuff. Hey, Gunstar Heroes. I like that game.
All right.
Rez.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, but there's some, yeah. But anyways, moving on. Yeah. Another bizarro item is how it was revealed that a game. Derek, Calvin, are you familiar with Serious Games?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No, I mean, I'm serious about games.
Oh.
I mean, I love video games.
It's pretty self-explanatory, though. Like.
But no, I'm not. I told you I was gonna make this dumb jokes. That's what I said I was gonna do.
That's okay.
Matt. What are they?
These are games that are actually created to they're educational games to help deliver message.
Get
and
this,
stuff
guys.
Like that.
They're games that are serious.
Exactly.
Oh wait, I thought that was like spelled weird. Like it was the name of a studio or something. Like, all right.
Yeah, like Sirius Satellite Radio.
Yeah.
Now I'm making video games.
Well, a maker of a serious game that was about fighting cancer that was produced in 2006. And basically, it's one of those, like, inner space type things, I think. You get shrunk down, and you're inside a human body, and you're fighting cancer cells. But it also deals about the side effects of treatment, like chemotherapy, when it comes to cancer. So, it's a game that's for cancer patients, so they have a better understanding about the disease that they're fighting.
Yeah.
Now it's been shown that game can actually help fight cancer in real life.
Where is that right?
People who play the game, they have a better understanding of what chemotherapy is about, and on a very psychological basic level, they're just more open to treatment. And in controlled studies, the people that played the games had a better rate in terms of fighting the cancer cells, which is, I think.
Totally believe that. I don't mean to brag, but like, I totally studied that shit in college.
Yeah, it's like a psychological thing, right?
Yeah, totally, yeah. Totally. Yeah.
Huh.
So
that's really interesting.
Cool.
I think it's pretty damn amazing. So
yeah,
video games are good. Yeah. So
video games
may not be art, but they're doctors.
Yeah.
That's
Dr. Mario
kind of falls under that falls into like kind of like classical conditioning and operant conditioning, kind of shaping behavior through reinforcement.
Yeah.
And kind of through learning and cognition and through that type of thing, the mind actually is a very powerful tool.
Totally.
And if you can find a way to convince a patient to think something, like, there is some truth to that. Like, no, the secret is just thinking positive.
No,
that sounds like bullshit. Yeah. There is some truth to that if you can administer it correctly.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Video Game.
That's pretty awesome.
It's fascinating.
So maybe video games will help revolutionize the future of medicine. We don't know, but there's a brand new future face of future of gaming. Oh, I messed that up. So there's a demo. Let's go back to GDC. Quantic Dreams, who made this game called Heavy Rain that a lot of people liked. I didn't. But they made this game. They made a demo called Kara. It's a demonstration of their brand new motion capture technology.
Yeah,
it's just a short film. They got a Hollywood actress. I forget her name, but she's hella cute. And she plays a robot and yada, yada, yada.
And the acting was really good. She did a damn good job acting.
Oh, yeah.
I
found the story to be thoroughly enthralling and enjoyable.
Yeah.
My problem with Heavy Rain is that everyone was just sort of creepy looking. And this finally, I wasn't creeped out. It was like, this is actually sort of cool.
So you would play
Heavy
Rain.
I still have not
played
Heavy Rain, but
creepy.
it seems like the type of game that I would enjoy.
Yeah,
warts and all. I think I would still.
I really want to get it just because so much of its gameplay seems interesting. But I would not pay more than $20 for it.
Yeah,
I could agree.
Yeah, I haven't played it yet because I haven't stumbled upon it like at a pawn shop for cheap enough yet.
Well, the Kara was only meant as a tech demo, but everyone's wanting and asking if it'll be a game. And I think deep down they're probably working on the game. They just maybe didn't want to really say anything or whatever.
No,
but,
honestly, they released something before Heavy Rain, I thought, that was also like another tech demo that people wanted to be a game. I don't see this as anything different than that. But okay. I think there was a small discussion I had. I got into a little beef with some girl on Twitter.
Beefing.
Or no, on Tumblr. I was beefing with this girl
on Tumblr. Segment of Fangamer Podcast, beefing with Ben on Twitter.
Tumblr. Tumblr, Derek.
Yeah, she said that.
Tumblr beef with Ben.
Tumblr beef with Ben. She said that this short film would not work at all as a game. And
why?
I don't see how that's true at all. And I think that says a lot about, like, just the state of the game industry and why people are afraid to take chances. That people could see something and be like, no, there's no way that could be a video game. Why? Because she wouldn't have a gun and shoot people?
Is that, like, what reasons did you ask? Did you ask her to provide any?
Yeah, like, what she said. Like, I guess, like, she just had imagination issues, because I was like, can you tell me why this wouldn't be a game? And she was like, well, what could you possibly do? Would there be, like, a mini game to see how fast you could put Kara together? Like, are you just like, gonna, like, try so, like, to, she, is she the was game to talk yourself out of being deconstructed? I'm like, can you not imagine the world that this takes place
in
like,
right now? Yeah, like, that's just a setup, and then you play, like, and then you play, like, Will Smith in iRobot, and you gotta free the robots and shit or something. Yeah, I don't know.
Like, it would be an interesting idea that, like, what if Kara, who is not human, but is an android, but she is female and understands that, you know, like, you know, female perspective. Females have a different role in society, and I think that's a concept that could work, perhaps.
Yeah, and
I don't know
that.
On average, games don't have good stories.
Yeah.
So I would not have much faith that most people would be able to make a good enough game with the potential that idea has.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that it couldn't be that Kara at that point would not be an interesting protagonist for some kind of adventure game or RPG or something like that is absurd. But it also sounds like the person you were arguing with then was crazy.
Yeah, it's not even that, like, the main conceit of the story is even, like, super, like, so crazy original and out there that it, like, that sort of, like, transhumanist kind of questions has been raised by things like Ghost in the Shell or Asimov novels and things like that. Like, it's not...
Yeah. Hard science fiction's had this for decades.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, Calvin, what's Ghost in the Shell?
It's an anime.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I love anime.
Anyway. No.
It's a great anime.
No, it is. It is. I was just going to beef on Calvin for anime.
Anime!
Anyway. Anime?
Anime.
I think we can move on now.
Ben, you're in no position to beef on anyone about anime.
Shut up. Listen,
all you do is anime. Like, you look like an anime. I'm looking at a picture of you right now. You look like a goddamn anime.
Like, Space Boyfriend is an anime holding anime
like,
gum
like
with rocking anime hair.
Like, Space Boyfriend.
Right, Legend of Galactic Heroes.
That
ain't fooling nobody.
Like, Space Boyfriend is on TV Tropes in the anime section.
That's actually true.
I saw it.
By the way, for the record, I think a Kara game where she tries to build a car as soon as possible sounds hella fun to me.
that sounds like the iPhone companion to the real game.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's the Burnout Crash minigame you just download for Xbox Live.
But yeah, like I guess all like what I saw out of this tech demo was like the potential that at least Quantic Dreams was willing to explore worlds like these, and like just to hear people think that couldn't make a game was just very bewildering.
Can't make a video game.
Mm-hmm. where are the guns at?
Of a video game that where the story is like about the nature of humanity. Who would ever do that?
But where's World War II?
How do I shoot them?
I just want to play this game, so I'm controlling a cute, really cute robot girl.
Oh, jeez.
And the guy...
Didn't you say something about male gaze earlier?
Yeah. Let's talk about it, Matt.
Yeah.
You misogynist.
You broke my train of thought.
Yeah, because your train of thought was in the gutter. You were thinking about tits.
Hey, listen, too much ICP. You got your mind all backwards.
I could go on about how I went to... this convention specifically to score chicks because in the past done panels where girls have like practically phoned themselves to me, but I had to say no because I had a girlfriend at the time.
Matt, can we move on to the next story?
And then also to stick it with furries and ICP, there was a guy, a noted furry storyteller who is also a doctor, and he was talking about how he hates all these weird, wacky, like medicinal cures, and how magnets are in fact
not
good for you, and magnets being ICP. So
come
moving
back.
On.
If only I had a girlfriend like Kara.
Totally.
Have to follow all my commands.
Well, in that video, it's like, you can totally, I'm here to service you sexually. Like,
thinking that Matt is imagining this to turn out like a Chobits video game. But
finally.
Girls Bravo, the video game.
God, I saw some Chobits masquerade burlesque that was really bad. Anyways, moving on. So, Street Fighter Cross Tekken DLC cluster, yeah. So, because remember, guys, I don't know if you got the memo, this is a PG show.
Oh, whoops.
So,
I've been cussing like crazy.
There'll be some beep boops in there.
Beeps. All right.
This is a PG show. We have to not talk about this topic at all because it gets Derek very mad.
Oh, really?
What,
okay.
Street Fighter Cross Tekken.
Well, if you're talking about the
DLC
on disc
live streaming thing and the
that was last month,
that contest that was held.
I think that was last month.
Oh, I don't think we were going to talk about that,
but
maybe
we
can't.
Okay, so Let's first things first. So the whole game's been a whole nightmare. I'm not a fan of the game.
It's a good game.
To me, whatever. Peace. But a lot of people were upset. The game came out, and of course, early copies started floating around, and someone cracked open and was like, wait a minute, there's all these extra characters that were supposed to be DLC. So Capcom has said, like, listen, that's for compatibility reasons. So if you're playing online and you're fighting somebody who has a DLC character that you don't want, you don't have to download all this stuff that's extraneous, yada, yada, yada.
A huge problem with Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat Online broke for a couple of months.
Well, yeah.
They didn't have the characters on the disc.
So they released, like, compatibility packs. I remember that. So.
Yeah. That's one thing that makes me, like, super excited about the new console generation is, like, they'll be redoing kind of their infrastructure for this kind of thing, and they can fix all these weird problems. Like having to do with, like, size limits on updates for Xbox games and all this, like, weird stuff.
I mean, this
or
is sort
maybe
of changing.
Just we will have a console generation where just won't ever own games. Everything will be downloaded.
A console generation for the internet age.
That's kind of where it's going. Like, the Vita seems to
finally,
be like
a console generation for us gamers.
I mean, it's hard to say. A lot of people say that that's definitely in the future, but people wonder if we're quite there yet because of, and not everyone has great high speed internet. Like where I am, I'm lucky, but I know some people they get capped out, or, you know, that's a constant concern. And right now, the game industry is still contingent upon brick and mortar stores. And
but if you look at, like, the last 6 years, like, you look at a game like Geometry Wars when it first came out. When that first came out, the idea that you download this game and you would never physically own it
was
actually
foreign,
really weird.
Yeah.
And then now,
it's common,
that idea is kind of
it's common. Strange. Yeah, no, it's common.
But
so I think the next console generation, like, that will be the thing they'll slowly weed out. Is like, you won't be able to get physical games anymore. Eventually, there's going to be, you know, the new Call of Duty or Gears of War or some big game like that. It's going to be download only. We're going to make the one big company's going to have to make that step.
Well, the thing is, I mean, with Geometry Wars and Call of Duty, it's not a very fair comparison because Geometry Wars is such a small profile game.
Yeah.
Call of Duty is so much of a bigger game.
Yeah,
but you had Braid, and you had games like Limbo and Super Meat Boy that you know, they were not only were they big for the indie market, but you cannot physically own Limbo, right? You can't physically download, you can't physically own a copy of Super Meat Boy.
I can go to GameStop and get a card that says Super Meat Boy on it.
Well, to correct you, there is a physical copy of Limbo. They produced a pack of, like, a bunch of, you know, Xbox Live games compilations. I believe Limbo's included in one of them. So
you can't just go down to the Best Buy and, hey, I'm going to get Limbo, you know, with the instruction book in the box, you know.
Well, actually, they, like I said, there's an actual...
Okay, you know what he's saying.
But I'm pretty sure I saw that last time I was at Best Buy, Derek. So, like,
there is a Limbo in a... My point
regardless,
is this.
The point is that
right,
it is still it's still shifting.
Yeah, and there's still that big dividing line between like big releases come out in a box and small releases come out online.
I'm saying one of these days it's going to be a big game that comes out, and even though it's like, you know, the new Call of Duty or whatever next big franchise, it's going to, because there were some movies, it was like weird, like, okay, listen, the new Lord of the Rings movie is not coming out on VHS. And that was that means VHS is officially dead. It's going to get to a point, and it might take another 6 years, but there's going to be like Halo 5 will not be physical. It'll be download only.
I mean, there's no argument that's where it's going to happen, but like the fact that they actually had to make an actual physical copy of Limbo and a bunch of other downloadable titles, I think is indicative that it isn't so much like the industry is so dependent upon brick and mortar stores that they have to make them happy. Like, hell, there's all these rumors about the next generation of consoles won't be able to play used games because they're so irritated by, you know, that's why everyone's being nickeled and dimed. So to segue back to Street Fighter Cross Tekken, a lot of people are pissed off that they have to pay for content that they, quote-unquote, technically... already own, like you
yeah,
already
the thing
own
is,
the
like,
disc.
The, like those characters aren't on the disc, though. Just what you need for your game not to break is.
But
and that's
actually
people...
there actually is the characters are on the disc.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, you can hack the game. There's a video out there of like playing. As
I hacked Mega Man.
yeah, Fat Mega Man.
There is a way. Mega there Man. Was for a while they patched already, but there was a way to use a hack to unlock Elena, one of the Street Fighter 3 characters, and just have her playable. And
wait,
Capcom
in
has
Street
been
Fighter Cross Tekken.
Yeah.
What?
How do I do it?
Well, it's been patched. It's already fixed. And Capcom's been very zero tolerance. Like, they literally said in their Capcom Unity forums, like, if you know somebody who's been doing this, give us their gamer tag, and which is pretty effed up. That's pretty messed
up. Dime your friends out. We'll hook you up with the characters early.
Exactly. So, it's a mess. Like, I understand the compatibility thing, but at the same time, it's with Mortal Kombat, it was only like 4 characters. This is like 20 characters, and it's just I don't know.
It's a good game though. I like it.
That's not.
Yeah, and aren't there like already a ton of characters in it already? Like, and people are upset there's not 3 more.
What do you mean? But Street Fighter Cross Tekken?
Yeah, there are a lot of characters.
There's already
in
a ton
game.
Of characters in the game,
yeah,
like,
man, but,
from startup,
but
right?
Fat Mega Man.
I want to play Fat Mega Man.
God.
I want to play
also,
Fat Man.
Also, Capcom
little,
did that. That was
robot.
Such a stupid move on their part.
You think so?
Fat
think
Mega Man. Oh, you kidding
cool.
me? The Mega Man fans were so upset.
Screw the Mega
Guess
Man
what?
Fans.
You know how
yeah.
fans
screw
also
them.
The Mega Man fans always are.
You know,
yeah.
the,
oh,
you
trust
know
me, I know. Trust me.
They just need to stop buying the damn games. All those people, I can't believe they got Fat Mega Man. All right, so where's my copy arriving? I mean, they're just like, they're just complete gluttons for punishment.
Like, I'm not saying, like, I'm defending Mega Man fans. I'm saying, like, Capcom should have known that was going to be a shitstorm. They should have known better not to do
I
that.
Want a new
yeah,
full
have,
Mega Man game with Fat
did.
Mega Man.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, if they had not canceled Mega Man Universe and Mega Man Legends 3 and put Mega Man in Marvel's Capcom, Ultimate Marvel's Capcom 3,
mm-hmm.
then fans would be like, oh, cool, a Fat Mega Man. That's kind of cool. But the climate is such that, like, this is the
yeah,
only
I,
Mega Man
yeah, I understand
Mega Man
that.
Fans are really going to get. Since I mean, Mega Man 10, you know, and just, they should have known they were just totally
listen,
opening up a can of worms.
They, I mean, they should honestly, be happy like, with the Mega Man they get.
Capcom's constant trolling of its fans is starting to get a bit old, though. It's like, you know what?
But also, Capcom has always been kind of shitty about that. They've always been kind of shitty.
I don't know. It's like, this isn't really a topic I didn't really write down, but yeah. this has been a crappy month for Japanese video game fans. Like, Konami, like, their crappy Silent Hill releases... Like, have you guys heard about the Silent Hill HD collection?
I've heard a lot of varying things.
I've heard
some people say that, like, when you do the rowboat section in Silent Hill 2, that it's
yes.
just, like, broken. Like, they couldn't actually emulate the water or even, like, the edge of the fog. So it's just this... It looks terrible, and I've
yeah.
heard varying accounts that this...
I saw an article where, like, they showed it to the... The producer of Silent, the original producer of Silent Hill 2, and he was just like, oh yeah, that's messed up. That's probably because the PS3 isn't very good at transparent textures. Anyway, it's like, oh,
I don't know,
that's weird.
I thought he says like, wow, that's the final game they actually
yeah,
released.
Did they
that
ship
out.
That?
That's great.
Put that in a box.
So, but anyways, we're getting off track here.
Did you guys want to dip into the reality show thing for a second?
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
I honestly would rather not talk about it.
I don't know what it is. But are you talking about the tester?
No. I mean I'll surmise it real quick. So they had a reality show.
No, the sexual harassment.
Oh, right. Okay. I'll get real mad about that.
Yeah, just honestly, like genuinely, like I don't want to go. I don't want to talk about it. Suffice it to say, the entire thing makes me extremely angry.
Okay, understandable
Fair enough.
As it
Fair
should.
Enough.
Because people are trash,
and for more reasons than, and my,
come on,
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
come on. Lock it down.
Stop
it. Lock it down.
Let's move on.
Well, if you guys want to move on, there's something that this is my favorite item of the entire list. It's one thing that no one's talked about.
Make it happen, Matt.
So there's a book that came out, an ebook, and this author, it's like a young adult novel, fiction, stuff like that. I don't know what it's vaguely sounds like Harry Potter, Twilight, I don't care. But anyway, so the author, as part of the whole multimedia explosion, she actually hired a prominent Minecraft modder to recreate the level, the environment in the books as a Minecraft mod. And there's actually a game component where you can try to fulfill objectives that are sort of correlates to the actions of the game. And I don't know, I find that really exciting because it used to be where like a game based on a movie was only a thing of Hollywood because only Hollywood could actually afford to make a game because games are making expensive. Now making games are much cheaper. You know, it doesn't cost as much to make a suit, you know, as a PlayStation game as it does an iOS game. But at the same time, it hasn't really caught on. But Minecraft is a great open source platform that has no real licensing fees. And this woman is very smart. She just took an open-ended platform and reconfigured it to really reflect her world. And I think if people really pay attention to this, this could be a great platform. Minecraft could be a great platform for people who want to extend their license and IP. And I don't know, I find it really exciting. Maybe I'm...
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty cool. It kind of reminds me of... well, wasn't there, like, back in the 90s, a serial that shipped with a game, like a Doom mod, basically?
What?
No, yeah, you're right. Yes.
I don't remember.
No, there was,
right.
like, the Chex Quest.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, like, Chex I remember Quest. That.
I had that, and I played it, and I, yeah. I remember
and
that.
I loved
beat it.
It's the
it
best
just
game
reminds
I've ever
me
played.
Of, like, McKids for the NES, but.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not a bad game. Treasure made it.
No, it's not that bad, no. But...
Or did Treasure make it? No, it was David Perry who made a cool spot and stuff like that.
Right.
So. Anyway, so the last item on our list is how
the best
a
item on the list.
A Pokemon champion, he was stripped of his belt or his crown or
his badge.
I don't think he was wearing
badge.
A belt.
Yes. when at the hotel the night before, he got into a poo fight with his friends. They
what
literally.
Do you mean, what do you mean by poo fight?
They
can
literally
you extrapolate on poo fight.
What is poo?
Like they got a bunch of Winnie the Pooh dolls and we're just like making them punch each other.
Is it... They apparently defecated in their hands and just threw them at each other in the hallway of a hotel. And the hotel's like, okay, you know what? Get the hell out of here. We're not going to tolerate this. And word got up to the committee who runs the Pokemon Championships. Like, yeah, we're not. We can't have a Poo Slinger as the champion. And they stripped him the crown. And
that's
they gave
not a type
else.
Of Pokemon.
Exactly.
I only sling Pikachus.
So, yes. That's
awesome.
Sorry, Ruben Poogie. Poogie Lassie. I'm sorry. He's a former Pokemon champion. But due to his affinity for fecal matter, he is no more. Sorry.
I guess
sorry,
that would
Ruben.
Be poison type.
I don't know. For some reason, like, for some reason, slinging poo seems like something that would go down at like Evo, like crazy cash games in hotel rooms. And some poo gets thrown around.
I feel that would be like the more not literal poo. Like I don't know. It's like yeah. That would be like, yo, some shit went down. But, like, here's some shit literally.
I rocked
down.
This guy at Sailor Moon.
Maybe these guys were just, like, so young. They knew the phrase shit went down and just thought it was
huh,
a lot more all right.
Serious. All right, I guess this is
these
how this
kids
goes.
Today.
Is this how the pros do it?
I'm just befuddled by, you know what, Ben, yes. You're a cool guy, and we don't know each other very well. Hope we become good friends, but I will never throw poo-poo at you, whether it be out of love or hate. And these people threw poop at each other because they're friends. Like, it wasn't like they hated somebody.
Like, oh, I was
like, oh, let's...
having a wild time. Woo.
It's like, yeah.
Like, why don't you play video games? Just play video games.
I believe...
Isn't there a video game about throwing poo?
Hey,
I know, like, in the postal games, you can pee.
Yeah.
There was I believe it was a European team, and someone said that that's how they roll in their country, but...
What?
No way. That ain't on Wikipedia.
I think that's a wrong thing that person said.
that's why I'm not going to get into any more details on what exactly country that they're supposedly from, and this is indicative. But yeah, that's basically it. That is the news of March 2012.
And that is the only way we could think of to wrap up this glorious month in the history of video games. Anyway, Kevin, we're going to leave it to you. Give us some final words on the subject, and then we'll close the show out. So stay with us, guys.
I'm Kevin Williams, the godfather of the podcast, the verified finish that you can witness, and this is my final word. So it looks like Mass Effect 3 is going to be the story of the year. Ending disappoints masses, game company capitulates, some people are applauding BioWare's new reality-based interactivity, while others are defending the necessity of concrete stonewalling in the creative process. All I know is it's dragging the news narrative around by the back of the neck. No, literally, that's all I know. I've been trying to avoid spoilers because I only just started playing the first Mass Effect this month. Confidential to James Picard, you're still the man. Seriously, I like where this is going. Last year, Valve altered the ending of the original Portal, providing a continuity link to the sequel. They didn't have to make an overt announcement or anything. They just reached through the ether with the Steam client and updated it with a patch. Likewise, the Minecraft guys added something that actually gave the game an ending. Not that anyone's seen it in the game because of how obscure and logically disconnected the process to reaching it is, but that's besides the point. We've entered an era where the very foundations of a game have become malleable, even after you've bought it and finished it. The voice of the player need not be ignored. You could have online polls and email forms involving us directly in your changes. Imagine a fighting game where player input could help improve the character balance, or a racing game implementing new track ideas based on photos people send in of their own favorite roads. Think about this. What if Nintendo started quietly updating the Virtual Console editions of Super Mario Bros. So that just when you thought you'd rescued the princess, Bowser suddenly comes back and you have an epic rematch battle? Or they could make it like the end of Double Dragon, forcing Mario and Luigi to fight each other for Peach's affections. These aren't just the whims of fanfiction writers and new grand submissions anymore. Game companies have an avenue to actually make this happen. The recent success of several high-profile projects on Kickstarter has proven that the publishing aspect of gaming can be crowdsourced. Why not take that one more level and get the public at large involved in the design system? This is a great opportunity to push game development into the metasphere. Your brain is the controller. The mechanics are the contours of discourse, formed and manipulated in the arena of opinion. And the final boss? Why, that's the old-fashioned idea that any single person could possibly have the gumption to create something in any given medium that doesn't totally fulfill the exacting and often contradictory demands of the rest of the world. I don't know about you, but I cannot wait to play Popular Consensus, the game designed by 3 billion people, even if it probably will star a spiky-haired space marine. For Fangamer, I'm Kevin Williams.
Once again, thanks to everyone not in the live stream because we didn't do it today.
You jerks.
But to everyone in the Skype chat who joined us very last minute, Kelvin and Derek, thanks for being on the podcast.
No problem.
Thanks for having me. I'll skip class any day for you, Ben.
Oh, thanks. Come mix my records.
I don't even have class because I graduate from school.
Wow, look at
decided I was done.
Ring-a-ding-ding, buddy.
I gotta work full-time, so I don't have time. I can only take one class a semester.
Wait, do you really only take one class a semester?
Yeah, because I work 40 hours a week.
So. And you skipped it?
Yeah.
Anyway, Fangamer Podcast, everybody.
Because he works, he doesn't have to pay for that class.
Yeah.
Remember, everyone listening to this, we are going to be in Boston, Indeed. Myself and Ben. So please stop on by the booth. We have some cool new stuff for sale and some returning classics. We want to say hi to everyone. It's going to be a great old time. We're going to rock PAX like we've done every single year, but we're going to be bigger. We're going to be better. We're going to be bolder. Yeah. And we want you to be part of the fun. So...
Get him hype.
Yes, exactly.
Get
him
hype. No, hype next man. Year they're going to call it FAX for the Fangamer Arcade Expo.
Yeah.
Damn
exactly,
it.
Exactly.
We're in the building.
Yeah. Yo, you going to FAX? FAX Prime?
That does not sound like it can be manipulated by Redditors to mean another thing. But.
Calvin, Derek, you probably won't be around in Boston this weekend, will you?
No. Boston's really far away.
But what about this upcoming later this summer at PAX Prime?
What about Seattle?
Tentatively, yeah.
Maybe,
totally.
Maybe for me. I don't know. I gotta figure that out.
You made it to Virginia. It was so cold, so unfair, so unreasonable.
In Virginia, it was
Seattle.
Cold. It wasn't that. It was warm. Oh, wait, I didn't wear a coat.
I forgot.
Yeah,
who I was talking to.
That wasn't cold.
Yeah. Like,
anyway,
it's like 34 out now, and I haven't worn a coat like all week.
Yeah,
crazy.
And also, like, you know, Virginia was cold. Like, it was not as cold as it was back home in Alaska. January
again.
I forgot who I was talking to.
I forgot I was talking to people who lived in Antarctica. Apparently,
jerk.
But no. Again, yeah. Come visit us at our booth. Say hi. Say hi to Reed. Mm-hmm. Buy some stuff. Just look at all the stuff. Go see chiptunes. There'll be chiptunes. There'll be so many chiptunes. That's all I'm going for.
All the boop, boop, beeps.
Does it be panels and stuff? And
go see Mike and Jerry. They seem like cool dudes.
Yeah, they seem pretty all right. I know the Vox Games guys. They're gonna have a panel. They're gonna reveal the name of their site.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a big deal. You're gonna want to be there. But yeah, I'm not really sure what else to say. Next week, I'm not sure if we're starting Mass Effect or if we're doing a PAX wrap up. But there will
be a forum thread. I mean, I would like to think that it'd be PAX wrap-up, because I personally can't play any Mass Effect.
I'm not going to be playing Mass Effect.
Oh, hey,
so
I wanted to mention something.
Yes.
Something I want to mention. It's way late in the show, and sure. So it's kind of dumb, but I was listening to the previous episode of Fangamer.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And Anthony Birch, cool dude. He was talking about he's not really a huge fan of JRPGs. He was playing Chrono Trigger, and he was giving Persona a shot.
Yeah.
Definitely he needs to check out, and anybody interested in this, check out Dragon Quest 8 for the PS2. Mm. Or was it 7? No, yeah, sorry, 8.
I think,
yeah.
No, it's yeah, 8 is the 8. One on PS2.
Yeah, Dragon Quest 8 for the PS2 is like one of the most finely crafted JRPGs. Like, it's that very, very standard Dragon Quest formula that, you know, they've deviated very seldom from, but it's probably the best, most well-made one in the series, and it's really, really good.
Have you played them all?
I've played the first 3, and I bought the 5th one, but I've only ever beaten 1 and 2 and 3. I've played a bit of 4, played a bit of 5, and just like, you know, Dragon Quest games are not that easy to get into.
And you call yourself a happy video game nerd.
But then, no, I put 90 hours into Dragon Quest 8. Like, Dragon Quest 8 was like, just consumed my life.
Only
so
90?
Good.
Come on.
Only ben. 90, come on.
But ben, no, did you ever play Part 7? Since you're a big JRPG.
Seven, yes, actually. I freaking love 7.
I heard 7 is like maybe the best one of the batch. Can you confirm or deny?
I can confirm.
I
don't know if it's better than 5, but I also haven't beaten 7. But I love 7.
I can confirm, though, that that Dragon Quest 8 starts much, much quicker.
Yes.
Yeah,
I mean,
I think
that's
within
just
like
that's a problem with the
maybe
genre
maybe
in general,
within
but
the first hour. I mean, you put the disc in the system, and before the first hour, you're in the first dungeon. You're grinding, you're getting gear, you're meeting people, story's moving forward. I've only played the first few hours of Dragon Quest VII just to try it, and just it took a really long time for things.
There were many years between those two
me.
Games, too. There
What's
were
that?
Many years. There were many years between those two games as well.
Yeah, different companies entirely, too.
Yeah,
but
true.
Yeah, Dragon Quest, and also think about Dragon Quest VIII versus VII, super common and super cheap, easy to find.
Versus never gonna find it ever. Anyway,
yeah, versus if you find it, someone's probably slapped $80 on it.
Yeah.
Yo, can I get that much for my copy of that game? Anyway, just to close out the show here, do you guys want to give a quick plug to who you are, what you do, where they can find you in the past, present, and future?
I'm
Derek and Calvin.
I'm Calvin. I have a website at calvinhanson.com. I have a blog at humanslovemusic.com. I have a Twitter at savagehands. I'm in a band with Derek called Starship Amazing. That's at starshipamazing.com. I might finish an album.
Hey, I'm Derek. I'm in a band.
I might finish an album someday under the name Form and Shape. That's at formandshape.com. The two tracks that are there probably won't be on the album because they are hella bad.
They f***ing better. They f***ing better, Calvin. This ain't no joke.
I've been working on redoing The Colors Are Bright as Ever. And I'm kind of liking what I'm doing
that's,
with it. I'm switching it up a lot. But my main motivation is I really like that title. So... It's like, oh, I got to do this song because that title has
and
to
you
be
got
on the
that
record.
You got that quote with the sea of stars.
Yeah, yeah. I should probably watch Legend of Galactic Heroes at some point.
Yep.
So I know.
Yep. Anyway, Derek.
What do you do? Do you watch anime?
No.
What's your
I only
anime?
Watch hilarious animes that make me laugh, like Girls Bravo and Girls Fireflies. Both so hilarious. I love them both.
You're not comparing those two, are you?
They're basically
no.
the same,
okay.
Like, if you think about it.
I mean, like, one is an anime that's drawn in Japan. The other one's an anime drawn in Japan. Same
so basically...
thing. Yeah.
If you think
hey,
about
Derek,
it.
Derek, where can they find you on the internet?
All right, so I'm also the happy video game nerd. Check me out at RetroWareTV.com. Also, at RetroWareTV.com, you can get my DVD. I got two DVDs
that's
out right
so
now.
True.
They're both $20.
Me and Garrett are on the second one.
What's that?
I said me and Garrett are on the second one for the Sweet Home.
This is
commentary.
True.
So am I.
There's a game club that, you know, the Fangamer folks did, you know, that I recommended, and they did Sweet Home. And I had, because, you know, Garrett and Banner bros, I brought them on, and we totally, in the commentary track, spoiled the ending and talked all about the story. So people are always like, oh, I'm never going to play the game. Just spoil the ending for me. Buy the DVD, listen to the commentary. But if you don't want to do that, you just want to watch my shit for free, it's totally cool. It's at RetroWareTV.com. I also do a podcast called Retro Beats. That's at RetroBeatsPodcast.
.tumblr.com.
.tumblr.com.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm actually working on an official website currently. That'll be at LowFatJello.com. Don't go there now, but it'll be there soon. But I have a Tumblr in the meantime that's just stuff Derek Alexander does at lowfatjello.tumblr.com. Get up on that.
LowFatJello.
Oh, what else do I do? Right. I don't know.
I'm on a job recently.
So I'm making some decent money. I'm happy about that.
I'm on this is my job.
He won't be on the internet anymore. Goodbye.
No, I think it's going to be like it's either going to be, you know, I'll have more time because I'll have more financial security and less anxiety about making videos, or I'm going to be too busy and it's going to be the kind of the same output that I have now.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and of course, Nothing Matters as well. NothingMattersPodcast.com.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yeah, Nothing Matters Podcast, that's dropping. Yeah. By the time you hear this, it'll probably that first episode will be hot off the presses.
Yeah. So, and then you can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/BenCarrigan. Matt?
Twitter.com/Fort90. I'm Fort90 all over the place, so you know.
Just Google Fort90.
Just Google it.
Yes. All right.
And thanks to you guys talking about anime, I just remembered that my copy of Gundam Extreme Versus arrived, and I haven't played it yet, so I'm going to do that after I get off the internet.
Anime video games. It all comes together in the end, and this is Gundam. The end. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Episode 116, Fang Ever Podcast. Farewell. Have a good night.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
See you at PAX.
We need to throw some poo at Coney. Come on now.